In today's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with health strategist, nutritionist, and pharmacist Adriana Schumann. Adriana and I spoke about her book Live Well, Environmental Toxins, the importance of movement, sleep, and nutrition, and how to cultivate a healthy inner world. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with Adriana, and please, if you enjoy the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Adriana. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Adriana Schumann. She is a nutritionist, health strategist, and pharmacist, and the author of the book Live Well. Adriana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. So excited to be here. I love your show, so I'm very happy to be part of it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on and also for talking to us about all things nutrition and health strategies and, of course, your wonderful book. Before we dive into that, though, I would love to hear a little bit more about you and how you got to where you are today.
So I'm a functional medicine health and wellness strategist and nutritionist with a degree in pharmacy from Comenius University in Slovakia. So I know we're close, our upbringing. and I have been really guiding people to health and organic and sustainable living since 2008, well before the sustainable living was really the norm. I am the founder of Your Wellness Made Simple. I'm a mom, author, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and just advocate for sustainable health. And I immigrated to US after graduating from university with very limited resources, no money, and very little English. And I was really ready to heal myself. I grew up in a very tough, violent household with my mom and dad. They had a lot of trauma that they were not able to resolve. I mean, it was a communist country when I was born, Czechoslovakia. So you can imagine my dad growing up in World War II. And it was the world there was just very bleak, very dark, and a lot of violence, unpredictability, and fear at home, from physical to sexual and emotional abuse. So after I finished university, I really was ready to get out and heal myself, because I just had this intuition in me, even though everybody kind of accepted suffering and living in the way they lived emotionally and also physically. I watched a lot of my close family members dying from cancer. There was just something telling me that I do not want to suffer like this. I do not want to live this way. So I was just following my light and left at 26. And really, my greatest joy in life is just immersing myself in learning and practicing and guiding others in health. And education and intuitions are really just at a core of who I am. So that led me to first heal myself and find functional medicine and understand the connection between the inner, what I call the inner environment, and the outer environment, how it affects your health and your well-being. So I knew I had to go through a lot of, I was already used to the dark places, and I call it like a butterfly, where you have to spend, you know, from the caterpillar to a butterfly, you spend a lot of time in a chrysalis alone, just doing the work in a darkness. But if you stick to it with, you know, if you're committed and you're consistent and you stay there and you do the work, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, you're going to become a butterfly. So it's just kind of what happened. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be also strong enough to get through all of that and heal. And I'm continuing to heal. Obviously, that doesn't ever stop. But be at a place now where I'm able to guide people to through their own healing and help them to achieve the vibrant health and unstoppable energy, as I subtitled the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so happy that you have taken your own journey and your own, I guess, exposure to toxicity to help others and to shine your light into the world. And I love your message when it comes to listening to our intuition more and not settling for mediocrity or settling for a life that feels toxic, feels wrong. And one of the phrases that I saw was, we are in charge of our own health. This is empowering and this is freeing. And I think sometimes people think, oh, we're in charge of our own health. Oh, so much to do. And no, and why doesn't anybody help me? And why doesn't life just come with a blueprint of like, this is how I function? But as you say, it's empowering and it's freeing. And that's such a wonderful statement. What caused you or what inspired you to put it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I have realized watching people, my grandma, my uncle, and really people, and honestly, it was where it started was really watching my family member dying from cancer when I was little. And studying pharmacy really allowed me to make the connection with pharmaceuticals and the whole the system of pharmaceutical drugs. And my family just kind of given in to the system, to the doctors, to the medicine, and being complete passive participant in their health. So I started to make the connection, like, hold on, we're in charge of our bank accounts, we're in charge of our houses and paying bills and doing all these things. But when it comes to health, we just count on someone else to take care of our health. There is a disconnect. And even though then I really didn't understand it, I could feel it inside. There is something off. So, just driven by that intuition and education from school, as I continued to, after I left and I continued to watch people suffering, I realized that I have to take my power back. I cannot rely on anyone when it comes to my health. I have to educate myself. And I understand that. Having a background in pharmacy, so I understand the biology, I understand health a little bit more than, someone else, like my husband is a builder, he knows absolutely nothing, right? So I try to tell people you do not need to understand much. You just need to know the basics, the foundation, just like you have to understand the basics of living to be able to pay bills, function, drive a car, whatever. You have to have the foundation. But it seems to me like, and it's not people's fault. It's just how everything is created and how, and I don't want to get into politics because that's not really the part of it. I'm trying to empower people that, and this is why the book Live Well is the methodology is created about really simple, actionable roadmap that you really don't have to go deep. You really just open the book and from the first page until the last, you just follow the roadmap, just like a GPS. Like you just do what it tells you to do. It's really well done. I have received really amazing reviews from early readers. And just really, it goes back to you have to take charge of your health. You have to. There are so many things we are not in control of, even in health, like, it can get very complicated and complex, but there is a lot we are in control of, and there is a lot we are in charge of if we just understand our body and the environment.
That's a great inspiration, and I agree. Like, I don't know if it's a generational thing or what, but for instance, if I look at my parents and even more so grandparents, any kind of doctor is almost like a god to them. It's like they say you get the opinion of one doctor, the doctor says, "Oh no, you're in menopause, whatever, all the symptoms, it's in your head, you're crazy, like or you're in your 20s, just take the birth control and we'll fix everything, blah blah blah." Okay. You don't ask questions. I've even heard of doctors almost like shaming some of their clients for like asking certain questions or for because they felt insecure or they felt questioned, and that was not really the point. But I think that that's really sad, and just that notion of like, okay, cool. Well, I mean, traditional medicine is great at fixing th stuff acutely, but it's not great at preventing things, or it's not helping us preventing things, and it's certainly not great at getting to the root cause of things or digging deeper and of looking at the whole picture. So I agree that we need to take that aspect of things into our own hands and use like the normal medicine, so to speak, as in, okay, when I cut myself, or when I need antibiotics or whatever, yes, sure. And you, with other things also, yeah, like get two, three different opinions and then listen to your intuition still. And if you still don't feel happy with any of the solutions offered, go and dig deeper. But yeah, I actually want to touch on to or get into that roadmap. That sounds so exciting. So I know that you touch on, I think it's six or five different points specifically. So toxins, sleep environment, nutrition, movement, and a healthy inner world. And I would love to take the time of this podcast to kind of go through each one of them, even if just briefly. I know that it's very in depth in your book, which I love. But yeah, talk to us about all of them in whichever order you like, and pause between as you like. I'm sure I will ask questions as well.
Yeah, and thank you, Lisa. And you stop me too, please. But I really love it. I just want to go back to the point that you made. And there is so much, but it's important to realize too that the system has kind of raised us to be ashamed of asking questions and actually feel bad. And I tell my clients, like, you have to imagine you're hiring the doctor just like you're hiring a plumber or anyone else, or your employee, whoever that is. You have the right to say no and walk away. If someone, the part of education, part of health, and anything that you want to succeed in life is being comfortable and feeling safe about asking questions. And if someone, no matter what, makes you feel bad about asking questions, that's a first sign for you to get up and leave. Period. There's nothing else to talk about. If you don't have the safety and freedom to ask a question, especially about your body and health, and I talk to people about this when I go eat in restaurants, I have the right to ask what's in the food. Just doesn't matter what it is in life, you have the right to ask questions. So I just love that you said that. I just really wanted to take it back and just kind of point on that because it's a really important point that you made. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think sometimes it has a little bit to do with maybe not feeling shame, but we're also often brought up in the way we don't want to be a bother or a burden or something. So to the point of the restaurant, I often hear from clients when I encourage them to just say like, hey, can you ask for no conventional dressing, but just olive oil and vinegar or something like that? Oh, I don't want to be the person that asks for something awkward. I'm like, you better get into the habit of doing that, because if you just want to eat whatever is put in front of you or do whatever everyone else is doing, you're going to have the health of what everyone else is doing as well. And that's not what we want. But yeah, anyway, to the back to the point of the wonderful book. I see we could chat forever here.
I know, yeah. So the Force the methodology, it's basically a simple roadmap, and it is interconnected four-step approach that empowers you to understand your body and your environment. It's the foundation of vibrant health. And I like to think of it as a thriving oak tree. A tree, help you have a seed, and the seed needs healthy soil, it needs water, and it needs sunlight in order to grow. And if one of these elements is missing, it struggles to grow. And your health is the same. Each pillar is essential and interconnected. So the first pillar is environment. We always start with the environment. It's like the soil. Identifying and removing toxins is key to achieving vibrant health. Poor soil makes weak plants. And weak plants attract diseases. Same for us human. So what is the soil? What is the environment? It's going back to where I grew up, it was a lot of violence, trauma. So that's the inner part of the environment. The outer part of the environment is like we had a lot of mold in our apartment. We were drinking water, city water out of a faucet. I was eating a lot of sugar, fried foods, even though everything was homemade. It was really all fried, sugary, high processed carbohydrates food. So that's the soil. That's your environment. Number two is food. Food is your body's message, either fueling health or disease. Talking about restaurant, right? Doesn't matter where you eat, whatever you put on your plate, I want people to think about, is this food creating health or disease. So learning what to eat, when to eat is extremely important as well. How to eat and how much to eat. That's the pillar number two that is in the book. And number three is sleep. Sleep is an active process that heals, detoxifies, and rejuvenates. It's really the foundation for strong immunity, to fight off diseases, and mental clarity and resilience. Anybody knows if you're not getting enough sleep, your day sucks. And it doesn't matter, how your exercise is and how much you eat, you're just not feeling good. The sleep is really to remove all the toxins and rejuvenate the brain. And that's where all the really the magic and the foundation is. And number four, pillar number four is movement. And movement is like the trunk. You just want this strong yet flexible and resilient body. And that's created from movement. I don't call it exercise because we're meant to move. We're not supposed to be sedentary. So just understanding the part of the movement. And in the book, I go deeply into why all of these matter, what to do and how to do it. And there's another chapter on transformation, which really walks you through on how to actually create a strategy and the change that you need to change, that you need or you want and you desire, because without a plan, nothing is gonna work, right? And I also have recipes are part of the book for people to enjoy, to see how I cook, because I don't believe in diets and all these different kinds of names and whatever. It's really about focusing on real foods that come from nature. They're sustainable, organic, and wild, and we can go into that. So those are the four pillars.
Amazing. I think it's great. And to the point of the movement, I see, and for those of you listening, we're also obviously on camera, but I see that you're also on a standing desk, and I love it. For me, it's that's something I got into during the pandemic, mostly because I started having sciatic nerve issues, and I just realized that it was from sitting way too much, lopsided, bad posture, and so on. But even if we try to sit with good posture and we're sitting all day, and there's so much evidence out there today that sitting so much is just one of the biggest or the worst things we can do. And I encourage anybody who has a standing desk, or I don't even have a standing desk, but I have this desk topper that I travel with everywhere, and it's like $60 or whatever. It's so much better. You feel so much better, and it's not saying you need to go from sitting all day to standing all day, but even if it's just half or 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, the more we get up, the more we also like encourage our circulation and blood sugar regulation, like all these wonderful things. So yeah, I just wanted to point that out because I love it. I love seeing that. And we can incorporate movement into our day that way in a very easy way. Even if it's standing, it doesn't feel like actual movement, but it's better than sitting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that, because I tell people, that's actually funny, because that's the first thing I tell people when they're, especially have office jobs, or now, pretty much everybody's on Zoom. Like, what is the first thing you can do about, improve movement? Just get rid of all the chairs in your office. Just do that. You don't have to spend any money. You just remove all the chairs and you stand, because when you're standing, you have to work against the gravity. So your muscles have to hold you up, which when you're sitting, you don't have to. So just do that one little thing and everything is going to improve. And when people start doing that, they're like, okay, well, what else can I do? And those are the little tiny steps, right?
I love it. Yeah, exactly. And then maybe transitioning to walking meetings or something instead of having a lunch meeting, saying, let's grab coffee and walk through the park, or all while you're having your phone calls. I think, yes, so many benefits to that. But one of those four pillars I want to get into specifically, because we don't talk about it that much on this podcast, and that is toxins. So maybe you can say or tell us where we find most commonly find toxins, and especially the ones that affect us the most.
Oh, this is a really good question, and you can imagine it's a very complex question, but I'll give you a few things that people might not think about often. Although before, I want to say, if you pre-order my book that's coming out in May, you get a free quick start guide, also a master class, and also I'm doing a free Facebook Live Well book community where people can, talk to me and they can kind of get ahead before they have the book in their hands. But the Quick Start Guide has the very first 3 to 5 steps in each of the pillars that you can take. And it's very simplified because I really believe in simplicity. But to give you a few pointers, the one of the most crucial things that people don't, I think about and talk about enough is mycotoxins from mold. And because we're so used to just thinking about mold is in apartments or in houses, like I was exposed to it, but there is mold in grains, there's mold in coffee, there is mold in food if you don't store your food properly. And mycotoxins are extremely, extremely toxic to our cells. It literally poisons the cells, the mitochondria that we hear about, that is the generator, that is, that generates the energy. And actually, mitochondria does so much more than just creates energy. But, for people to be able to listen to us and pay attention and focus, and the level of focus you have is really just dependent on the level of the health of your mitochondria. So if you're foggy, if you don't have energy, and the first thing I tell people to test for mycotoxins. And there is, people are surprised with like the coffee beans, and I know peanuts are really popular in the United States that were not in Slovakia where I come from. I grew up on Nutella and hazelnuts. but peanuts especially, it doesn't matter if they're organic, it's because of how they grow. They have this shell and they're growing close to the ground. There is a specific aflatoxin that is very, very dangerous, and it's really hard to know which peanuts or peanut butter has it or not. And all these mycotoxins are linked to cancer if you do not address them. So that's one, and I can go on and mention other unless you have some
No,
questions.
I mean, I think the point of peanut butter, that's actually a great practical takeaway, because it's reasonably easy to swap that out for almond butter or cashew butter or whatever. I mean, a slightly higher price point, yes, I get it, but any kind of conventional peanut butter is terrible anyway, usually has some palm oil added to it and sugar and whatnot. So I would recommend spending a little bit extra on some almond butter or something like that in an exchange. But a really good note when it comes to just the mold in food that we need to pay attention to generally. With regards to coffee, just because I'm also a coffee lover, so what would you advise in order to avoid that, or should we rather not drink coffee at all?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I stopped drinking coffee. Honestly, I loved my coffee. That's what I was looking forward to after lunch. I would always have a cup of coffee, but then I was going through perimenopause, and my thyroid hormone, the T3, started to drop. And after doing research, caffeine is actually one of the ingredients in food that affects thyroid hormones. So I stopped drinking coffee completely and all the caffeine, and it went up. So I was like, okay, great, that's a win. And at first I started drinking matcha and just slowly kind of, got off the coffee, because then I also learned about the mycotoxins. So thankfully, living in this age right now, we have so many amazing companies that are making coffee that's tested for mold and heavy metals and pesticides. So I'll tell you one, I'll tell you two. These are the two. There are three. I can't remember the third one, but there are two that I have recommended to my clients. It's Danger Coffee from Dave Asprey, and Keon, I believe it's called, from Ben Greenfield. And then there is, I think it's called Purity. I don't want to say the wrong name, but honestly, this is even what I do for myself with different kinds of products. Always look for a third party tested on a website. And if they don't have it, email them and ask for the labs. If they don't email you back,
You have your answer.
yeah, exactly. You don't need to worry about it. There's really, really nothing more important than health. And Our bodies are so incredible and resilient. If you think like, well, I'm not feeling anything, I'm fine. It takes years to develop.
The build up, yeah.
Yeah, and we get used to symptoms too. There's so many times like, oh, I have plenty of energy, I'm fine, until we start working and removing all these toxins. Like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I could feel this way.
That's really a great point. I think the same applies to stress. That's something that I hear often when people are like, "Oh, I don't have more stress than I did the years before." Well, it's a buildup, right? Your body at some point is just going to say stop, and that's often where we need to get to, unfortunately. But yeah, then also, okay, let's talk about the nutrition pillar, of course, since this is the Nutrition and Life podcast. What sort of tips, recommendations, notes do you have under the nutrition pillar?
So the nutrition pillar, it's really my belief is to encourage people to eat fresh, sustainable food you can find in nature and align it with your body's clock. What that means is if you focus on fresh food, that means you're not buying products that are packaged, right? Being reasonable, there are going to be products that you're going to buy that are packaged. Like, I don't make my tomato sauce, I buy it in a jar, right? But when I buy the jar of tomato sauce, the next piece is sustainable. So make sure it's organic, okay? So that means there is no pesticides. The ingredient list, I always tell people, whatever you see on the front, it doesn't matter, ignore it. And I'm sure you talk about this a lot. Just grab the packaged product, turn it to the other side, and look at the ingredient list. And anything that's there, would you have it in your kitchen cupboard? If not, if you don't understand, there are emulsifiers, sugars, blah, 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 things that you just don't have at home as fresh, sustainable food to add to your food. Like the tomato sauce is going to have probably just tomatoes, extra virgin olive oil, salt, maybe oregano, and that's it. That's it. So all these ingredients you would have at home, or you would grow them in your garden. So the other part is aligning it with your own biology. In my book, and what I teach is, it's not just about what you eat. So it's what, when, how much, and how. And the when is because of our digestion and many other things. When we're eating close to bedtime, our insulin, our pancreas basically already knows, okay, well, melatonin is releasing in our brain, so it knows to turn down the increase of insulin in the pancreas. So the digestion is going to be slower. So every single cell in our body is on a clock. We cannot just eat whenever we want, whatever we want. That's when we're going to start having problems in our body. Then about how much to eat. The other part is eating at the table, no distractions, taking a breath before you eat. And I had to, do this for myself too, because now busy with the book launch and million things going on, I would find myself putting my food on the table. I always take my deep breaths, I always smell my food, so my digestion enzymes can start releasing. Like, I do all of that, and then I open my laptop and I'm eating and looking at the emails and stuff, and I'm like, hold on, what am I doing? Yeah. And then I finished eating. I'm like, I don't even know what I just ate.
That is such a good point. I have, like, honestly, people that eat while they're walking, it's one of my pet peeves, because on you really, I have had those experiences before where I'm like, I thought I still had half of a wrap or whatever left over, and then I look down and like, oh, it's already gone. I didn't even realize I ate that. And it's so sad. And it just tells you that our digestive tract really doesn't, it's called rest and digest nervous system for a reason. You can't rest and digest while you're walking to your next appointment. So really, really great point. And to the simplicity of the ingredients, I think that's a really good way to think about it. We often say just, 80, 90% Whole foods are minimally processed, and I think the fewer ingredients, the better. It just shows you it's very little processed. I do often get asked, "Oh, can I purchase frozen fruit or frozen vegetables or whatever?" Yes, of course. Because if we're saying, "Oh, you need to eat fresh fruit," like I get that it's confusing, but sometimes those the frozen things or canned things can actually be almost a little bit fresher than if they've been sitting in the grocery store for 3, 4, 5 days or longer. So yeah, I think a very, very good note on the part of simple ingredients, fresh foods, and I also like to encourage people to like keep their meals simple because I think we overcomplicate it with too many ingredients, like 20 ingredients, and it needs to be maximum flavor and whatever. And instead of just, hey, let's honor the ingredient kind of in its raw or in its natural version as well, and really learn to enjoy what a food tastes like without a ton of additives and sauces and cheese on top, and then sprinkle some more whatever. You know, you're good, sprinkle a good salt and some spices and herbs, absolutely. But it doesn't have to be that elaborate meal that takes an hour to cook.
Yeah, exactly. And for that, actually, you're taking me to my framework. As I was mentioning earlier, I don't believe in all these diets. That's not the focus. My focus is creating health. And I have a very simple framework that's protein, plants, healthy fats, spices, and ferments. And that's it. And again, make sure that the protein is sustainable, wild, whether it's wild salmon or it's whatever, meat. Eggs, it doesn't matter, like whatever protein you want. Beans are great protein source. Then you have sorry, I skipped the plants were first. So plants can be anything from beans, nuts, seeds, vegetables, fruits, and like you said, frozen is fine as long as it's organic, I tell people, because I know we can't see the glyphosate and all the pesticides and all of it, but if I put it in a glass of in front of you're not gonna drink it. So we just kind of have to become really really serious and just very conscious of this. Just because we can't see these things, it doesn't mean they're not in our food. We would not eat them if we could see them. So the plants, the protein, like I said, and healthy fats, avocado, fish oil, extra virgin olive oil, and like I said, spices. They add flavor. You don't need anything else. And fermented foods. Fermented foods are really important for the gut microbiome to have a nice diversity. And that's where the health really begins. Although I do want to say on fermented foods, if you have histamine intolerance, which a lot of people do, it's a genetic mutation. And if you have any issues, which is kind of hard with the histamine intolerance because you can have a lot of symptoms from rash to sneezing, joint pain. I would just make sure that you're not eating fermented foods. Otherwise, if you don't have that genetic mutation, it's really helpful. So that's how I build my plate. And on my Instagram page too, I constantly show just like this morning, I just had eggs, avocado, arugula, lemon juice, olives for fermented foods. I had some, herbs and spices on it, onions, and that was pretty much it. That's
No, it sounds absolutely delicious and fresh. And to the point of the fermented foods, I think sometimes people are resistant. Well, because it is just an accustomed flavor or taste. But I keep saying our taste buds are so malleable. So like, if you don't enjoy it, get yourself to have like a fork of sauerkraut per day. And you know, after 2 weeks, you might find, okay, I can do two. And after 3 weeks, you might find I'm actually enjoying and craving this. And to the point of like things like sauerkraut, kimchi, and kefir, even. Very easy to make yourself. Very, very. You don't need to spend $15 on a jar at a supermarket. Like, buy a head of cabbage and give yourself an hour, and then 3 weeks or whatever later, you have a few beautiful jars of sauerkraut or kimchi for like $1. So,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah,
it's
that's a
so
good point.
easy.
Yeah, there's very these things are like my favorite. I don't know what your favorite plant is, but my favorite plant honestly is broccoli sprouts. And it is such a powerful plant and it is so cheap and so easy to grow at home. So like if people ask me like what is that one plant? Broccoli sprouts.
Well, I love the tips. So great for liver health and natural detoxification and metabolism. I want to like connect to the last of your pillars, which was the well, or actually to the of how we eat. And with that, you mentioned sort of like more mindfulness, pushing the pause button, taking the time to rest. And I know that a big part of your book is also on a healthy inner world. And I would love to hear a few of your strategies or just some tips for how to cultivate a healthy inner world, because I think it's all connected. It all has to do with one with the other.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. And we've all had some kind of trauma, whatever it is, whether it's from childhood or it was a car accident or anything that we have not processed. For me, because my life was so traumatic from basically growing up, from day one growing up until I was 26, and then coming to the United States, which again, I was on a survival mode. I had to really, I was in a survival mode for 26 years because I had to be constantly aware of what's going to happen. I had no idea, right? And a lot of people are growing up like this. And if we don't address this and dissociate from it because we have to survive, like I did, you're going to start having a lot of health issues and they're going to catch up with you. So it's really important to address this. There is not one simple method to address it. But my morning practice that I have developed over the years, I don't call it meditation, I call it my morning practice. It's something that I share with you, that I'm going to share with your audience, that has been life-changing for me. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It really is breath, movement, and sitting alone and journaling. So breath really connects us to, and there's different kinds of breathing practices. And I honestly like there's these breaths that you count 4, 7, 8 or box breathing. Honestly, it causes me anxiety. So don't do breathing practices just because somebody's promoting it. Like anything you do, always pay attention to what feels good to you. There is not right answer, whether it's food, sleep, movement, environment, there is not one right answer. You always have to pay attention to what feels good to you. And that goes to the sitting and being silent. That brings you inside of yourself. And when you're sitting, even just like every morning, you just sit for 5 minutes after you get up, drink your water, just sit and just observe. Just observe how you feel. And it's gonna be uncomfortable. And there are gonna be thoughts that's gonna come up. That's why I recommend to have a paper and pen, not your phone, paper and pen, and start writing everything down. Get it out of your body, get it out of your brain. That process of actually writing things down is just like if you're talking to a therapist or you're going through hypnosis, whatever. It's really that physiological movement is what helps to start processing these things. So we can never run from our stressors. They're never gonna go really away. They're always gonna be there, but we're gonna process them, and our body's not gonna respond to them as stress anymore. I am able to talk about my life now with complete ease. It doesn't affect me at all. 10 years ago, I was crying when I was talking about the things that I went through. Now, it's almost like it didn't even happen to me. It's just a story, right? But it's not part of me anymore. So sitting, journaling, doing a breathing practice. I really like Breath of Fire. There's plenty of YouTube videos people can find. It really gets the blood going. It feels like it just pulls me into the center. It just grounds me. It feels amazing to me. But again, fine, whatever works for you. And movement, whether it's Qigong, yoga practice, Tai Chi, movement again is extremely important because all the stress we're holding on, to in our bodies, and it's not just like the stress you feel in your shoulders, it's in your organs, in pancreas, in your spleen, in your liver, and all these organs and everything needs to move to get it out as you're going through this process. So that's something that you can do on your own. It doesn't cost anything. And then really the next step is I really like hypnosis. I like tapping, EFT. I like coaching, life coaching. I tend to like that more than therapy sessions, but again, you have to find what works for you. But I hope these were helpful.
Well, what I love the most about what you said is that it's a daily routine. Because I think, I mean, there's something powerful about attending a retreat or going to a therapist, once a month or whatever. But it's really those things that we do on a regular, on a daily basis, on our own as well. It's like, okay, yes, we all want to go to the dentist, twice a year or whatever, but you should still brush your teeth every day and you should still floss and right. So it's kind of the same thing when it comes to those daily practices. And I think often people think like, oh, I'm busy, I don't have time for that. But well, A, you're a published author, you have your own practice, you're a mom, you're busy as well. You're making it a priority. And it doesn't have to take 2 hours. Some people might hear this and think like, oh wow, this takes, but I think if you speed it up, or if you have it in the most minimal time, this could be like a 10-minute process where you do 3 minutes of gratitude journaling, a minute of breathing, 5 minutes of a bit of mobility, and a minute of just sitting there and grounding and waiting for whatever comes in to come in. And 10 minutes, no one can tell me that they don't have 10 minutes, because even if they have kids that rise early, you couldn't get up 10 minutes earlier, or once they're out of the house or so. There's always, if we want to make it a priority, it can be a it can fit into our schedule, even if in a small compressed way. And I truly, truly like all those practices. I think the combination of all of them are going to be super powerful, and just having the pen there to help you process. And what I liked also is how you said it's become a story, because that shows me that you've become an observer and you've kind of like analyzed it, processed it, and now it's just, it is what it is. It's part of your history. But there's, I don't want to say there is no emotion attached, because that sounds like you were blunting the emotion, and that's not it. But you've processed the emotion, and so therefore now it's just facts. It's just like data on a scale or whatever. It just is what it is. So, truly, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm 100% certain that that was helpful and beneficial for some of the listeners. And just in general, thank you so much for your time, Adriana. Honestly, it's been a wonderful conversation. I truly hope that most people are going to pre-order or pick up your book, Live Well, and join your Facebook group and all the wonderful resources that you offer. I will put all your links in the show notes, and just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It was fun.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Adriana. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. One more thing before you go. If you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.